I'm very pleased tonight to introduce a man who, in my opinion, is the greatest living writer in America. Reading selections from Naked Lunch and Nova Express in his first television appearance ever. Here is Mr. William Burroughs.
Twilight's last gleamings. SS America off Jersey coast. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no cause for alarm. We have a minor problem in the boiler room, but everything is now under... Sound effects of a nuclear blast. Explosion splits the boat. Dr. Benway, ship's doctor, drunkenly added 2 inches to a 4-inch incision with one stroke of his scalpel. Perhaps the appendix is already out, doctor, the nurse said, peering dubiously over his shoulder. I saw a little scar. The appendix out? I'm taking the appendix out. What do you think I'm doing here? Perhaps the appendix is on the left side, doctor. That happens sometimes, you know. Stop breathing down my neck. I'm coming to that. Don't you think I know where an appendix is? I studied appendectomy in 1904 at Harvard. He lifts the abdominal wall and searches along the incision, dropping ashes from his cigarette. Get me a new scalpel. This one's got no edge to it. He thrusts a red fist at her. The doctor reels back and flattens against the wall, a bloody scalpel clutched in one hand. The patient slides off the operating table, spilling intestines across the floor. Dr. Benway sweeps instruments, cocaine, and morphine into his satchel. Sore up. I can't be expected to work under such conditions. Dr. Benway pushed through a crowd at the rail and boarded the first lifeboat. Y'all all right, he says, seating himself among the women. I'm the doctor.
Hey, Larry, dig that chick.
Huh, she's groovy.
Hey, man, are you ready for that spade? Wow.
He's groovy. All spades are groovy.
Dig that chick. She's groovy.
Yeah, she's groovy.
Right.
Hey, dig that.
She's not groovy. Peace, baby.
You talking to me, man?
Sure, baby. Come on over here. I want to do a thing with you.
You, want a roofer?
No, man.
Reaper?
Forget it.
Ringer?
Where's your miniskirt?
I forgot it! Oh, I knew I should.
Cool it, lady. Don't
streets.
Get uptight.
Come over here in the light so we can check your body paint. Faded San Francisco Art Nouveau.
Sure, she must be an oldie.
Are you holding?
Natch! Jackson, of course I'm holding. I got it right. Oh, you took my stash from me. This is a frame-up.
Dig, Larry. Aspirin.
Let's do her a favor. Phone her in.
I tell ya, I took all the uppers. You want to hear me rap? I saw the best minds of my generation.
Put her in the car.
Put her in the back seat.
Hysterical,
out of sight. Call her into Dr. Benway.
Oldie but Goldie City, Benway here.
Hey, Doc. Got one for re-grooving. Be right in.
Groovy.
How's the Blue-Cadelic Psycho-Raga-Rock Old Folks Dance Marathon doing?
They're dropping like flies.
Groovy. Oldies but goldies.
Superintendent of schools here.
Groovy.
Groovy. Hey, man, it's about your kid, Malcolm X John Lennon. He dropped in today.
You mean?
Benway, your kid's a drop-in.
It'll kill his mother.
I just talked to your father. He's groovy.
Yeah, I like Pop.
Well then, baby, how come we found you in a classroom today? Why weren't you hanging out in the parking lot relating with the rest of the kids and teachers?
I don't smoke. Can I go now?
Yeah, do your thing. Hold it. Leave those books here.
Oh, well, you know, I mean, he doesn't have to do drugs. I think that he probably is writing about drugs. I don't know how familiar with that, but he has written for the London Science Journal of Addiction. And, you know, his information, his persuasiveness are unparalleled, I think, in terms of probably educating people about the evils of dope, you know. So, I mean, it's very moralistic on one level, his work has that, you know, it's really Jonathan Swift, Change the World, you know, very admirable.
One day, Burroughs found himself in the possession of some morphine syringes, and he tried junk for the first time.
Morphine hits the backs of the legs first, then the back of the neck. A spreading wave of relaxation, slackening the muscles away from the bones so that you seem to float without outlines.
I became addicted to drugs before I had written anything. And actually, my first book, Junkie, was simply an account of my experiences.
I think it was medicine for the dude. It's painful.
Yeah.
It's painful to be a human being. I'm not even half anymore. I can't take it.
Mm.
You know, I've never been more than half at one time.
I think that his genius, in as much as he has any, and you see it in ample evidence in Junkie, is that he makes of the condition of the addict a sine doce for the condition of everybody.
There are all sorts of things you can get out of this guy's books without having to be interested in whatever he thought about opiates.
I think the way to read Junkie is not as a book about heroin addiction at all. It's a book about the condition of modern man under developed capitalistic societies.
William was on and off junk for the rest of his life.
Some whiteies.
Give me those whiteies, and I'll tell you about Ohm's
whiteies.
Law.
Okay. You want some blackies?
Give me a couple of those black widows.
Take you down a little bit, yeah. How about some yellows?
Just a couple of yellows.
Okay, here we go.
A bunch of Chicanos!
Yeah, right.
Okay, man!
All right,
here, have some brownies.
I have some brownies, too, huh? That's good drugs.
Okay, with us today is an expert on drug abuse, Peter Keschner. Peter has been an expert on drug abuse for many years. He was with the Drug Abuse Council in Cincinnati. He's taken more drugs than any police officer, you think, in the world. Mr. Keschner, can you tell us about, by golly, this is one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. Do you always wear that hat, Mr. Keschner? I think you'd call that far out, right? Okay, now as a police officer, Bob.
Oh, no! Oh,
well, okay, in your police work, Mr.
Well, as a narcotics control officer, Bob.
I was a victim. I don't want to. I
think we better take a break for the news.
Okay, let's take a break for the news.
Well, they'll stone you when you are all alone. They'll stone you when you are walking home. They'll stone you and then say they'll are brave. They'll stone you when you're sent down in your grave.
Colonel Sutton Smith, C5, retired not uncomfortably on a supplementary private income, could not resign himself to the discovery of Roman coins under the grounds of his cottage. Interesting theory the Colonel has about those coins, over two sherries, never a third, no matter how nakedly his guest may leer at the adamant decanter. He can, of course, complete his memoirs, extensive notes over a period of years, invitations, newspaper clippings, photographs, stretching into the past on yellowing dates. Objects go with the clippings, the notes, the photos. The Colonel decides to make his own time and constructs a simple calendar consisting of 10 months with 26 days in each month. The months have names like old Pullman cars, where the colonel had lived until his 18th year. Smell of soot and steam and iron and cigar smoke as the train jolts away into the past. The colonel is jolted back to the now. The colonel decides on this mild gray day to bring his time into present time. He looks at the objects on the breakfast table, calculating the moves to clear it. He measures the distance of his chair to the table, how to push chair back and stand up without hitting the table with his legs. He has discovered the simple and basic discipline of DE, do easy.
Chinese.
I wrote it when I was drunk.
Chinese grass is like Chinese Homer. One little tap and you're over the fence.
Oh, yeah.
Does
everybody know what a Chinese Homer is, or did we explain that last week?
No.
A Chinese Homer, man, is a fly ball that just clears the outfield fence.
It's the least effort you
need. It's the least effort home run. It's a Zen home run.
Right. Right.
A Chinese Homer.
He becomes an assiduous student of DE. Cleaning the flat is a problem in logistics. He knows every paper, every object, and many of them now have names. Knives, forks, and spoons flash through his fingers and tinkle into drawers. He has perfected the art of casting sheets and blankets so they fall just so. Cigarette packages and crumpled papers land unerringly in the wastebasket, as a Zen master can hit the target with his arrow in the dark. DE is a way of doing. DE simply means doing whatever you do in the easiest, most relaxed way you can manage, which is also the quickest and most efficient way, as you will find as you advance in DE. You can start right now tidying up your flat, moving your furniture or books, washing dishes, making tea, sorting papers. Don't fumble, jerk, grab an object. Drop cool, possessive fingers onto it like a gentle old cop making a soft arrest. Guide a dustpan lightly to the floor as if you were landing a plane. Here is a student at work. The student considers heavy objects. The tape recorder on the desk taking up too much space, and he doesn't use it very often. So put it under the washstand. You will discover clumsy things you've been doing for years until you think that it is just the way things are. Now try again lifting, shifting, pivoting, dropping on the legs just so and right under the washstand. He is learning the simple miracles. The miracle of the washstand glass. We all know the glass there on a rusty razor blade streaked with pink toothpaste. Quick the fingers go to work and the glass sparkles like the Holy Grail in morning sunlight. Learn to place an object firmly and quietly in its place, and do not let your fingers move that object as they leave it there. When you put down a cup, separate your fingers cleanly from the cup. If you don't catch that nervous finger that won't let go of that handle, you may twitch hot tea across the Duchess. Every object you touch is alive with your life and your will. Don't tug or pull at a zipper. Guide the little metal teeth smoothly along, feeling the sinuous ripples of cloth and flexible metal. Never let a poorly executed sequence pass. There is always a reason for missing an easy toss. Repeat toss, and you will find it. Surely this is the easy way. If you wrap your knuckles against a window jam or door, brush your leg against a desk, or catch your feet in the curled up corner of a rug, or strike a toe against a chair, go back and repeat sequence. You may experience a strange feeling, as if the objects are alive and hostile, trying to twist out of your fingers, jump out at you and stub your toe or trip you. You will be surprised how far off course you were to hit that chair, that window jam, or door. Get back on course and do it again. How can you pilot a spacecraft if you can't find your way around your own apartment? It's just like retaking a movie shot until you get it right. And you will begin to feel yourself in a film, moving with ease and speed. If you drop an object, break an object, spill anything, knock painfully against anything, galvanically clutch an object, pay particular attention to retake. You may find out why and forestall a repeat performance. No student of DE would have his pocket picked applying DE in the street, picking his route through slower walkers. Don't get stuck behind that baby carriage. Careful when you round a corner, don't bump into somebody coming round the other way. Everyday tasks become painful and boring because you think of them as work, something to be fumbled and stumbled over. Overcome this block and you will find that DE can be applied to anything you do, even to the final discipline of doing nothing. The easier you do it, the less you have to do. He who has learned to do nothing with his whole mind and body will have everything done for him. Let us now apply DE to a simple test. The old Western quick draw gunfight. Only one gunfighter really grasped the principle of DE, and that one was Wyatt Earp. Nobody ever beat him. Wyatt Earp said,
"It's not the first shot that counts, it's the first shot that hits. Point is to draw, aim, and fire, and deliver the slug an inch above the belt buckle."
That's DE. How fast can you do it and get it done? It is related that a young boy once incurred the wrath of Two Gun McGee. McGee has sworn to kill him, and is even now preparing himself in a series of saloons. The boy has never been in a gunfight before, and Wyatt advises him to leave town while McGee is still two saloons away. The boy refuses to leave.
"All right. You can hit a circle 4 inches square at 6 feet, can't you? All right, take your time and hit it. Take your time, kid."
"How fast can you take your time, kid?"
"Howdy, Brahmachari. I'm Gabby, your sacred cowboy. You know, this reminds me very little of the time my guru sent me out to clean up the karma in Artful Dodge City. I stumped into the Last Chance Saloon."
"Paramahansa Yogan and a party boo.
Hey, give me some more of that third red eye, Bucky."
"You've had it. That's your last chant, cowboy. Out!"
"Well, there's a passel of them theosophists at the other end of the bar raising the devil. Had him about 10 feet off the floor. And I could tell by the red clay on his hooves and his black aura that he was up to no good. So I look him straight in the eye and I said, 'Sam Paku, there ain't enough room in this life cycle for both of us.' That little devil up and challenged me to a game of 10-card tarot, Pentacles Wild. And I seed him deal a high priestess from the bottom of the deck and then..." "It's Lieutenant Behind of the 7th Seal Cavalry."
"I need 3 men! 1 from column A and 2 from column B! Drop! Hope!"
"Howdy, Lieutenant Behind. What's up?"
"We ain't. Got some more loco weed?"
Sure. Got some road apple red right here."
"Which way'd we go?"
"You went that away."
Is it the page that's marked?
I think so.
With a Canadian dollar.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, all right.
It's got it at 50%.
Be careful being paid in Canadian dollars.
When did you first read Naked Lunch? Where were you?
I was in Lancaster, California. I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And it was 1950.
Did it change your life?
Well, you see, I'm not much of a reader. I very seldom read books, you know. But at the time, when I saw this, I said, "How did he get away with that?" Definitely an encouragement.
Did I ever tell you about the man who taught his asshole to talk?
his whole abdomen would move up and down, you dig, farting out the words.
This is Major Hitt in the cockpit of the Enola McLuhan, flagship of the 7th Airborne Peace Corps and Lending Library. We're now over the center of rebel resistance in northern Nigeria and preparing to drop literature.
Do the Bombay door thing. Bombay door swinging and open, baby. Ruby and out. Bombardier, it's your karma.
We're almost ready to drop it. I can see the entire rebel force running out of their huts, looking up at the sky.
7, 14, 11, 16, north, direction, north, by north. Are you getting ready? Hucks away!
There they go. The literature is in a tight pattern. The rebels are beginning to scatter, but it's too late. On target. God, this is an awesome moment. The last stronghold of unhip resistance is out of sight. Under 8 million hardbound copies of The Naked Lunch, it's all over. We're coming home!